The question was asked, how are we to understand the correlation between the 12 tribes and the zodiac, what's called in Hebrew mazalot, and the idea of the zodiac having forces, where do you draw the line between that and idol worship? So let's start with understanding a little bit more about the zodiac, the mazalot, and then work our way back to the tribes, okay? We are taught that the 12 months, that the 12 Jewish months, which work around the lunar calendar with modifications for the solar year. We interject leap years. We interject an extra month because the lunar year is approximately 354 days, which means that it's 11 days shorter than the solar year, approximately, without going into the details of the exact length of each year. So we'll assume right now 11 days difference, 354, 365, 11 days difference. So every year the lunar calendar is 11 days short. So, obviously, every 3 years you need an extra month. You need 33 days. And every so often you got to catch up those 3 days also, right? That's 33 days. And the Jewish... Okay, so so the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, which balances itself out with the solar calendar. We are the modification. Our tradition is that Edom, Esav, Christianity works around the sun, right? That's the strength of the sun, and that's the idea of the solar calendar. And Yishmael, the Muslims, they work around the moon. You notice that's on their flags and stuff. And Israel is the correlation in between, the balance, lunar calendar, which correlates to the sun as well. Esav, you write English from right to left. Islam, you write from left to right. Judaism, the words go from right to left, and the pen goes from left to right. Whenever you write in Hebrew, you gotta work, the pen's always going from left to right. So there are many concepts where we say we were given the middle path, which is a balance between the different forces. And we'll get back to that when we speak about the forces of the zodiac, so and the tribes. So we are taught that there are different strengths in the world, and the Jewish months work in a system called, I'll give the acronym now for the system, Me'ak Gidad Tashet Sa'av. Me'ak, Gedad, Tashet, Sa'av. Three letters each, right? Me'ak, Moznaim, the scale, right? What month is the scale? Tishrei. Ein, Akrav, Scorpio, yeah. Cheshvan. Kuf, Keshet, the bow. Yes, that's Kislev, because we're playing bow and arrow when they overcame the Greeks, right? Me'ak, Gedad, Gidi, Dili, Dagim. Goat, bucket, fish, yeah? Me'ak Gedad, and that corresponds to Teves, Shvat, Adar, yeah? Tevet is the goat, Shvat is the bucket, Shvat is the month of rain, that's where we have Tu B'Shvat, where the sap starts moving in the trees, and Adar is the month of the fish, and we say just as fish are covered by water and not affected by Mazal or Ayin Hara, so too in the month of Adar, we were able to overcome Haman, and we weren't affected by his lots, even though he thought that he can affect us with the luck of the draw, and there are many other ideas of the fish in the month of Adar. Then we move into the next 6 months, right? Tashet Sa'av. So Tet is the Tle, the young sheep, which is the month of Nisan, which is the month where we slaughter the sheep on the 15th of the month, where the Egyptians believed that was the highest point. The 15th of the lunar month is always the point where the pagans would believe that's the strength of the month, and we contradict that, right? We slaughter the sheep on that day. And the firstborn of the Egyptians died on that day, etc. And the plague of blood began on that day. Okay, so Tzele, that's the sheep of Nisan. Shin is Shor, the ox of Iyar. And then Tashet, Sivan is Teomim. What is Teomim? Twins, because in Sivan is when we were given the capacity to be godlike, so to speak. Anile dodive dodili, I am to my beloved is to me. The matching, the pairs, the kruvim, the angels that match, the Teomim is Sivan. That's when we received the Torah, when we became matching, meaning we have three descriptions of Hashem's connection with the Jewish people. You have the description of Hashem walking in front of them, with a pillar of cloud, a pillar of fire. That's Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the holiday of Pesach. Then you have Hashem above them, corresponding to them. That's when we stand at the mountain of Sinai. That's Tomim. And then finally, Hashem is in their midst. That's the holiday of Sukkot, where we enter the land of Israel, and we come to the Holy Land, and Hashem builds its temple in our midst, and we enter the Sukkah. There are three levels of connection, just like we have three levels of peace, right? The river, the kettle, and the birds, right? Birds fly in mass. There are three types of dreams that represent peace. Birds, a kettle, and a river. Birds fly as a flock, but each one's separate. Then you have the kettle, which represents fire and water, but there's only peace when the kettle's in between, so the fire can affect the water, but that's another type of dream that represents peace. And then finally you have a river. That's a peace where everyone flows together. Three types of peace in a marriage, three types of connection. So we have three types of connection with God as well. Back to, so we were talking about Teomim, right? So we have Teomim are twins, that's Sivan. Tashet Sa'av. So now we go over to Satan, right? What is Satan? Cancer, right? Satan is, so that's the month of Tammuz. Aleph is Aryeh, lion, which is the month of Av, which is the month in which the temple, which is called the lion, and was built by King David, who's called the lion, in the city of Jerusalem, that's called the lion, was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, who's called the lion, in the month that's called the lion, Av. And that month has a name that represents our connection to our Creator. Even though he's destroying the temple, our tradition is that the day of the greatest love between God and the Jewish people was Tisha B'Av. So the month is also called Av, because Tisha B'Av is the father who operates on his son. The father can love his son in many different days and many different ways. But the day that he has to be the doctor who's operating his son, that's the day when he feels the most outpouring of mercy for his kid. He has to be the one taking the surgical knife, cutting off his, believe me, that's the day I speak as a mohel, who circumcised his own kids. The feelings you have when you're cutting your own kid is different than what you feel any other day. So that's Av. That's the month of Av. Mama's skimming the game. Mama's skimming the game. And then we reach the month of Elul. We finish the 12-month cycle. And we reach the mazal of Betula. Ordinarily, virginity is a one-time thing in life. We say, no. Every year we hit the month of Elul, we get a new start, a fresh start. Elul leads us into Tishrei. So Elul is the concept that you have a new start, leading into the scales of Tishrei, which we already did. So we discussed. Me'ak gedad tashet sa'av. Okay, me'ak. Maznaim, the scale, that's Tishrei. Ein, akrav, scorpion, that's Cheshvan. Keshet, the bow of Kislev. Notice I don't know the correlation of each month. There are whole books written on this. I've never studied it in depth. What I'm telling you is what I've gleaned from not studying it in depth. I'm saying as you go through sources, so you touch on certain concepts. But there are actual books written on this. This isn't something that ever interested me too much. But what I can share with you is the little bit that from other sources that are not focused on this. So me'ak, we said, moznaim, akav, keshet, gedad, gdi, dli, dagim, the goat, the bucket, and the fish, right? That's shvat adar, tevet shvat adar. And then tashet sa'av, tle, the sheep of Nisan, the holiday of Pesach. Shor, the ox of Iyar. Teomim, the twins of Sivan, receiving of the Torah. And then Sa'av, Sartan, cancer. Akrav, Aryeh, the lion. We discussed that in the month of Av. And Betula, the virgin, and the month of Elul. Ani ledodi vedodi li. Elul represents our renewal of connection with our Creator. Okay? Now, we have a concept that we have 248 prohibitions and 365 proactive commandments, right? 613, 248, and 365. 248 correspond to the limbs, 365 corresponds to the day of the year. So every day of the year tells you another commandment. But every day of the year represents another prohibition, remember? In the Zohar, you actually have allusions which day is which commandment. So then you could also understand in the year how that falls out. Notice this is the solar year, not the lunar year, by the way, 365. But at any rate, you do see where mitzvot fall out. The ninth of Av, for example, it says, is the mitzvah of Gidon Asheh, where Jacob was hit by the enemy, which represented that we would be able to be hit repeatedly throughout the generation. So that's the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av. But okay, let's leave that for a minute. So different months have correspondences to the zodiac. Our sages tell us that when in ancient times people were granted longevity, it says in Genesis and Bereishis that people were able to live hundreds and hundreds of years, that was so that they would master the solar system. The reason they were given such longevity was so that they could master science. God created man, and the simple understanding is that man was created healthy, and as he continued his life, he became less healthy and he destroyed his life. Another understanding is that after the flood, things changed in the atmosphere. As some sources say, that's when the earth shifted on its axis, and that's when you start having a mention in the Bible of seasons. And that stems, yeah, so on the equator, everything's all the same season, right? But the earth shifted on its axis with the flood, and that's when the Torah tells us we had seasons. So then the climate change affected the longevity of man. Another understanding is that it was only after the flood that man stopped being a vegetarian, and that's what affected man's longevity. so there are different understandings, but there's a midrash that says man was granted longevity at the onset of creation so that he could master science, so that he could understand what different plants do, so that he could understand the solar system. Because to master the solar system, you have to observe year after year after year, and then over time you start seeing systems. So we have a period of 2,000, 1,500, 2,000 years where man has a lot of longevity. And man starts seeing that the forces in the zodiac have a certain impact on the world. And our sages say that in the times of Abraham and in the times of the Jews in Egypt, there was a real wisdom out there to understanding the stars. And that wisdom was inaccurate, but it was real. The prophet in Isaiah calls the fortune tellers hametzafzafim v'amagim, those that chirp like birds. Our sages say, just like a bird chirps and it doesn't understand what it's saying, so do the stargazers see, and they're not exactly sure what they're seeing. They see something which has a level of accuracy, but it's not perfect. And in our Friday class, we will still explore, as Nachmanides discusses, how that wisdom has been lost over time. And what we're left with are a bunch of charlatans who take little bits of information with tremendous inaccuracy, but once upon a time, they could get it very close to accurate. They could get it very close to right. But they didn't understand exactly what they were seeing, as we see throughout Tanakh. We see that they were close, but they were off. And that's the difference between a prophet and a stargazer. That's why if a prophet is off even by a minute, he gets the death penalty, because we say, then you're not a prophet. If you're not perfect, you're not a prophet. God gets it right. Stargazers get it approximate. But there is, so the Torah teaches us, there is such a force in the world. There is such a thing. So then what's wrong? Why are idol worships called Ovdei Kochavim U'Mazalot? They worship the stars and the zodiac, because they're worshiping them. They believe that it is not just a force at play in the world, but they believe that that force has a choice how it'll affect you. That's when it becomes paganism. When you believe it's a choice and not a force, that's paganism. But the force exists, and the force affects the months. And so each tribe has a different force that it is naturally connected to. And the forces represent different things. Like we didn't go into too much what each force represents. We just touched on it droply, but there's much more. We spoke about the bucket. We didn't speak about the bucket having a drop of water, it says. And that drop is called Mar Idli. And that month is Mar Cheshvan. The month of Cheshvan is referred to as the month of a drop. Mar, people think, is bitter. But the word Mar also means a drop. At any rate, we come back to the idea. Different forces for different tribes. Each tribe had their own version of prayer. We know that in prayer there are different nuschot, right? So it says from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, each tribe had their version of prayer. In the temple, 12 gates, because each tribe enters from its gate, because each tribe represents a different force in Israel, and each tribe has their month. And in fact, every month was supposed to have a holiday. Before we sinned with the golden calf, it was supposed to be that Rosh Chodesh was a holiday for each one, for each tribe. When we sinned with the golden calf and the women did not sin, we lost that holiday and the women retained it. That's why there's a custom that women don't do laundry on Rosh Chodesh. Women have Rosh Chodesh parties on Rosh Chodesh because they didn't sin with the golden calf. But that goes back to the idea that Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be a celebration that represented the uniqueness of each tribe with their correlation to the zodiac, with their correlation to their color on the flag. Every tribe has a different color, just like every tribe has a different color on the breastplate, right? We have 12 colors, and those colors represent, and every tribe has different letters in their name, and we believe that every letter represents a force, and those letters combined represent the force of that tribe. That's why Yisachar is pronounced Yisachar without two shins, because the two shins represent one thing, and we pronounce it without the second shin. So all of this comes together to a concept that tribes are the colors that make up the patchwork of the people of Israel, and their representation of those forces and those colors comes to play in the location of the tribe. That's why they needed different territory, in the way they made their living, in their strengths, in their impact on the Jewish people, in the months of the zodiac. That's another correlation, in their location in traveling through the desert, where they were vis-a-vis the ark, which we say represented the zodiac. Their travels in the desert, each tribe was aligned with their position, the position of their representation in the zodiac. That's how they were formed in the desert, and this was a tradition they had from the days of Yaakov. Yaakov taught them this fashion of traveling, which they did when they took Yaakov's body up to Israel. So we just touched on it. There's more to discuss.